Good morning. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 13 and 14. Please follow along with me if you will. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Vicki wanted me to pass on to you how much she appreciates the cards that you have sent her. They have done her and her sister a world of good, and she deeply appreciates that. I will leave in the morning to go get her. I will come back Tuesday. She will go to camp on Saturday, spend a week at camp, and then we will have another week, and then we will be leaving to go up to Maryland for a reunion where she'll stay another 3 to 4 weeks after that. And so I'm going to cherish what I get when I get it. But she wanted me to let you know how deeply she appreciates and misses you all, especially for the cards. Our age tends to blur distinctions and throw everything into a gray area. But in the scriptures, matters are more clear cut. There are in this world good people and bad people. Those who do all they can to obey God and those who stubbornly reject him. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, and starting in verse 5 and going through verse 10, he says, "But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up to yourselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in doing well seek the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." We find in these verses two destinies for man. Our destiny depends on our actions. For Romans 6 and verse 16 tells us that our actions show who we serve. And we serve only one of two masters. Our characters are the accumulation of the decisions that we have made. When we are dissatisfied with our present state in life, it is tempting to blame circumstances beyond our control. We seem to think at times and tend to think that we would be better off if it were not for the hand that we had been dealt. But in all the important ways, we are each the product of decisions that we have made in this freedom of our wills. We have voluntarily thought and spoken and done things that have made us what we are. Our characters are built up not from our external circumstances, but from what we have chosen to do with those circumstances. As the old saying goes, we are not held responsible for the hand that we are dealt, but we are responsible for how we have played that hand. We can see this in the differences between King Saul and King David. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul made a poor decision. He made an unlawful sacrifice. In verse 14, Samuel told Saul that he will not continue to rule the kingdom, that there was someone better that will take over. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul again made a poor decision by not destroying completely as God commanded the Amalekites. In verse 28, Samuel nailed the final nail in his coffin. He said, "The Lord has rent his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you." Saul lost his kingdom not by the circumstances that he faced, but by the choices that he made. David was better because David had made better choices, not because he had better circumstances. And yes, David made some poor choices in his life, but not in this case. We must accept responsibility for what we have made of ourselves. We are who we've chosen to be. We are self-made persons. Unfortunately, a self-made person is often the product of unskilled labor. Decisions and choices have a cumulative effect. They tend to snowball. Every decision, every act changes a person for better or for worse. And one is never exactly the same after making any choice. Future choices have to be made by the person who has shaped the choices that have already been made. We look at a choice that Daniel made in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Prior to that, Darius had made a decree after he was prompted that no man can petition any god or man for 30 days. After Daniel knew and heard of that writing, and after it was signed, Daniel went to his house. And the windows that were opened toward Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day. This is what Daniel always did. That was what he continued to do. The choices that Daniel had made early had become a habit in his life. Yes, he faced the lion's den, and God watched over him. The angels kept the lion's mouth shut. But with every one of even the slightest deeds, we are building up a character and a self that will find it progressively easier to act in certain ways and more difficult to act in other ways. We are truly building habits by our actions. We build good habits by our actions. We build bad habits by our actions. And some of these actions will be hard to quit. None of us are still standing. With every choice that we make, we become either more like God or more like Satan. In John 8 and verse 44, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "You are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and he lived not in the truth, because the truth, there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And in verse 47, Jesus also said, "He that is of God hears God's words." But this condemnation, he comes right down on the Pharisees. "You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." We truly are products of our actions. You know, it's sobering to think that every act counts. God will take every act into account in his judging of our lives. What is even more sobering is that no decision is too small to be insignificant. In Matthew 12, verse 36, Jesus, he said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every word. Now, we might play the child's game. We might say, well, oh, that doesn't count, or I had my fingers crossed. But when God judges our lives, He's not going to hear the "that doesn't count" or "I had my fingers crossed." He will not accept our excuses. We may think that we are merely being careless or haphazard, but we need to think about the consequences of the choices that we make, because they are eternal, and we will be held responsible for those things. You know, man in his law sometimes gets things wrong in his judgments. Sometimes there are innocent people who end up spending many years in prison for acts that they do not commit. We hear it on the news all the time. But one thing we need to understand and know of God is He doesn't make that mistake. God is not going to send an innocent person to eternity of fire and darkness. The consequences that we receive will be the results of what we ourselves have done. In Romans 6 and verse 21, Paul said, "What fruit had you then in those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things are death." Every action has consequences. Only those who will be and eternal punishment will be there, those who have demanded to be there by the choices that they have made. You know, while we may not realize this, but very few people set out to be wicked. Very few people, from the time they're born, has told themselves, when the time they could think on their own, "I'm going to be the most evil person in the world." No, it all started with the choices they made, and it snowballed. Robert Louis Stevenson had said, "Sooner or later, we must all sit down to the banquet of consequences." And it is dangerous and detrimental to ever say to God, "No," even once. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12 and verse 25, he said, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on the earth," speaking of Christ and all those who denied him, "how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven?" While there is a downside to our actions, there's also an encouragement in the fact that every act counts. We can never truly say that our lives are hopeless or helpless. We can do things and do something that will alter a situation for the better. You know, in spiritual matters, there's no such thing as a stalemate. You know, I remember here a few weeks back, Kaylin and I, she loves to play checkers. And we get down to the last couple of pieces and we're running all over the board. And there's no way that either of us is going to get trapped. But in religious matters, there's no stalemate. It's either win or you're going to lose. Look at David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He realized that there's no stalemate at all. Verse 26, when they were sitting there, the children of Israel were facing the Philistines, and there in the valley between the two stood Goliath taunting them. And the armies of God were fearful and afraid. And in verse 26, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to a man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? A boy with courage that no man had." We can act in faith, steps in the direction of goodness and truth. And it doesn't matter how small it is or how seemingly insignificant it is. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. You look at that poor widow in the temple that threw the two mites in the box. Look at the impression that she made from that act of sacrifice on Jesus Christ. Her action stands the test of time and was deemed significant enough to be included in the writings. There's a reason God wanted that little piece in there. That something as insignificant as two mites has made a difference. God does not require larger steps of righteousness than we can manage. Only the small steps that have been taken in faith. It does have a cumulative effect. God's not looking for people that can do everything. He's looking for those who are willing to do something and do what they can. Heaven is going to be the outcome if we learn to choose actions that tend in God's direction. Life is a serious business, and it pays to live it very carefully. In Ephesians 5 and verse 15, Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Every action reaches into eternity. And we need to take responsibility for the bad choices that we made. On the other hand, we can be encouraged knowing that we can make a difference for good, even in the small acts of faith. But in all things, let us be grateful for the opportunity to make our better choices today. Every act counts, even the little ones. The choices we make can start today. We're not a child of God. We can make that choice today. I can guarantee it, but you won't see it immediately, that the choice that you make today to become a child of God will have an everlasting effect. It'll be one of the best choices you'd ever make in your whole life. Repent, to turn away from the life that you're living, to turn your life over to God, to confess Christ before men, to be baptized for the remission of sins, may be the best choice you ever make. And if you are a child of God, we still every day make choices. Not every one of those choices is what God wants us to make, and we need to make amends of those choices that we have made. We need to go to God in prayer. It is something private between you and Him, and ask Him to forgive you. Have that bad choice erased. Don't stand there on judgment day and have to take that into account. Get it erased today. If you are Subject to the invitation this morning, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.